question. I repeat this at the risk of being redundant to boys that heard me last year, but I feel it's of maximum importance and significance. Any question, any atheistic question, courageous question that any person could ask, the Gemara, or the Midrashim, or even the Tanakh asks this question. In Judaism, a question is encouraged. You'll find in the Gemara, in numerous places in the Gemara brings the questions that atheists asked the Tanoim. It's very interesting, the whole attitude of our Chachamim, our sages, towards a question. An honest question deserves an answer. And we don't maintain that we have answers to every question. You know, there's the question, you know, how can a person have bechira? How can he have free choice? If the Ribono Shel Olam knows what's in the future, so how do you have free choice? You know, the Rambam asks that question. He's not the only one. The Rambam, you know, on that question, he doesn't say an answer. You know, he says a very interesting statement about that question, about the impossibility of saying an answer to that question, because of our being three-dimensional. A question is always encouraged. A question is, because Judaism is a religion of courage, intellectual courage. You have to hear the question. Maybe some we can answer, some we say we don't answer. Emunah is something else. But anyway, about today's questions. You have to learn. Somebody once said that if it would be up to him, he would never learn Chumash with little children. What do you mean he wouldn't learn Chumash with little children? He says there's a big hazard in learning Chumash with little children. Why? Because they learn Chumash when they were young, and they absorb the Chumash as Bible stories. And when they get older, they say, well, I know Chumash already, now I have to learn Gemara. And their whole concept, their whole understanding, the level of their understanding of the Chumash is juvenile. So they're always thinking about the Garden of Eden, you know, of Adam and Eve, you know, with an apple, you know. They think about Abraham as some picture they saw in a book. But they fail to mature in their learning of Chumash and understanding what the Chumash is all about. I mean, and that's the source of our emunah, that's the source of our faith. So someone said, maybe sometimes it's better not to learn Chumash with children, since they're never going to learn it when they get mature and understand it on a mature level. Concerning some of the questions, like your question and other few questions that were asked here today, you know, we know that there are three others, three patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. And the Gemara says, "Ein koyrin la'avos ela shloisha." No man, no matter how great he is, no matter what his madrega is in Avodas Hashem, no matter what kind of a tzaddik he is, no man can have the title of Avos. Avram is an Av, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yankiv Avinu, and that's it. Ein koyrin la'avos ela shloisha. And these are things that have to be understood in very modern terms. We have to ask ourselves, okay, Avram Avinu is a big tzaddik. We don't know what a tzaddik means. Believe me, that no one in this room knows what a tzaddik means. And I'll tell you something, I believe I understand more than you what a tzaddik means, but I also don't understand it. I perhaps see more details or the contours of what the inyan of tzaddik is, but believe me, that I know that it's something so subtle that I fully don't grasp it. We have to, in our terms, try and understand when we say Avram Avinu. We have to want to learn and understand, what does that mean? He had a long beard and long payas. His payas were longer than ours. That makes him a big man. Or he, what did he do? He davened all day. That makes him a big man. We have to search out and try and find the core, you know, to in a capsule. We have to, in a formula form, to conceptualize what was Avraham Avinu. And I'll ask you another question. We'll be very open, we'll talk, I'll ask you another question. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri. Avraham HaIvri. So the Gemara asks, what is the meaning of this title of Avraham HaIvri? So the Gemara says, Ivri means aver, on a shore, a side. On a river, there are two sides, the east side, the west side, the north side, the south side. So the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri because he was called Avraham the side, the sider. What do you mean, the sider? So the Gemara says because he stood on one side of the world and the rest of the world stood on the other side. He was alone. So I was thinking, you know, sometimes I was thinking to myself, a man stands on one side of the river all by himself and the whole world is against him. So I ask myself, you know, where does a person get so much strength? You know, a person should be all alone, absolutely alone, in a view, in an attitude, in a concept, and a person should know that he's at odds and he's fighting with the whole world. What's the secret of such a person's strength? What is he? Charles Atlas, what is it? I don't know, strong man sometimes, a strong man, he's got muscles. What is it? How do you define it, you know, in terms that maybe that we should have access to such strength, but we should understand it. What are you talking about? Avraham HaIvri, he's on one side of the river. And the rest of the world says he's insane, he's crazy, he's demented, he's psychotic, he's hung up, he's strung up. That's what he is. And he stands there and he's all alone. How do you understand this?